Hello, everybody, and welcome back into another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable season previews. We are up to the Winnipeg Jets, and we got Connor Rabchak here. Connor, how's it going? You know, the season is almost here. We're into September. It's training camps are, what, like a week, 2 weeks away? We got rookie tournaments. We got some fun stuff coming up. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I mean, I'm glad that we're finally getting into hockey season. Training camp for the Jets, at least, is 2 weeks away. And it's been, at least for the Jets, it's been radio silence for the last 2 months. So I'm glad there's actually things to talk about now.
Yes. Yeah. We got to actually talk about some, I hate doing these we're obviously doing a preview right now, but it gets a little bit tiresome throughout the off season, just talking about what's going to happen when we could be talking about stuff that is happening. So
exactly,
it's a lot better when we have stuff happening around the NHL. So yeah, let's start. Well, you know, the Winnipeg Jets made the playoffs. They didn't do very well. I mean, they got eliminated by the eventual Stanley Cup champions, which I guess whenever you're eliminated by that type of team, you're like, well, maybe it's okay. Like, everyone got eliminated by them, so maybe we're just one of them. So it's like, yeah, it's exactly. always like, well, we got eliminated by the best team, so maybe it's okay. But yeah, the Winnipeg Jets, you know, had very short playoffs. And lost a veteran in the offseason, Blake Wheeler. They bought him out. He signed with the New York Rangers. But that's a big leader. Leaving the team, obviously, was stripped of the captaincy last season. But he's still a leader in the dressing room. That's going to be a big loss. Also traded Pierre-Luc Dubois to the LA Kings. Got a couple pieces back. We'll talk about them in a sec. Defense didn't change very much. They didn't really do anything else. They did made that trade. There were a lot of rumors that other guys were going to be on the move, like Mark Scheifele, still here. He's not moving. Connor Hellebuck, another guy that's been rumored to move, again, still here. So, I mean, lots of big pieces that were supposed to leave are still in Winnipeg. So, as of right now, it looks like that's what the type of team that's going into the season, but we'll have to just wait and see if there's any other moves. But let's jump in to those new forwards that they got in that Dubois trade, and Gabriel Vilardi and Rasmus Kupari, which are two relatively young guys. You got a 23-year-old in Kupari, 24 in Vilardi. These guys, Vilardi had a really good season last year, and he kind of broke out with LA and kind of came into his own, was injured a bit during the season, but had a really good season overall. So let's start with Vilardi, because I think he's the most exciting guy that's in this trade. So what do you think he'll bring to the Jets this season?
I mean, I think given how the forward core is structured, he's going to have to play top 6 minutes. So that breakout season you saw with LA, he's going to have a bigger role this year. He was on pace for 30 goals if he didn't get hurt last year. And the Jets need, like, we'll get into their full structure in a minute. And I think they're better defensively up front, but they're going to need some goal scorers. And Gabriel Vilardi in the top six is going to need to put up 30 goals because this team is deep, but they are kind of lacking the high-end scoring talent. Like Kyle Connor's there, Nikolaj Ehlers. Scheifele had 42 goals last year, but like you said, we don't know what's going to happen with him. He might not be a Jet past the halfway point of the season. We don't know, right? So a young player coming in, he won't be able to fill Pierre-Luc Dubois' shoes completely, but if he can, you know, post the strong defensive metrics he did last year, put up near 30 goals, I think that's exactly what you're looking for out of Vilardi.
For sure. I've missed one guy. Alex Alafalo was also in that trade. He's, you know, 29 years old, so maybe I didn't put him in that. I was looking at the young guys. So Alafalo is not young-ish. I mean, he's not young. He's 29 years old. So, but he's had a really good career so far. He's hit double digits in goals all of his seasons in the NHL, except for his first one. So, I mean, he's a pretty consistent guy. He's not a big time goal scorer, but what do you think about, you know, Iafallo being added to this mix as well?
Yeah. And you use the word consistent. I think that's how you describe Iafallo. He's going to penalty kill. He's going to post like incredible defensive metrics in the middle six, and he's going to put up anywhere from like 13 to 20 goals. And that's exactly what you're getting out of Alex Iafallo. And I think it's something that Jets bottom six has missed the last couple of years, honestly, is a defensive powerhouse that can kill penalties. Oh, their penalty kill was great last year, but having a PK specialist and someone who can do that same kind of work 5-on-5 is kind of adding a new element to that bottom six that we haven't seen in the past couple of years. So I'm excited to see what Iafallo can do alongside Adam Lowry, which will probably be leaned on as a shutdown line from Rick Bonus. But yeah, him along with Kupari is probably going to be in the bottom six, battling for that fourth line center role. He brings a little bit more of like a scoring touch. But yeah, the Iafallo addition was a sneaky one because Velarde was the big name in the return. But Iafallo is a quality middle six player, and he can affect the game in a multitude of ways.
Yeah, he's a bit of an underrated piece in that trade. And you got like Kupari's he hasn't hit his potential. When he was drafted, he was supposed to be a really high-end type scorer, and he hasn't really done that yet. He was a first-round pick, 20th overall in 2018. So, you know, he hasn't really hit that, you know, that scoring that we were expecting. He's only had, you know, career high has only been 5 goals. He had career high 15 points last season. Really hasn't played a lot. I mean, he had 130 games in the NHL, but you know, when he was drafted, his shot was supposed to be like lethal, and we haven't seen it yet. Do you think he'll be able to break that and be able to be that type of player? Or do you think he's already kind of, you know, plateauing at what he's going to be in the NHL?
Yeah. You know, a change of scenery can always kind of resurrect a player's career. You never really know, but the fact of the matter right now is that he's battling for fourth line center. And outside of that, there's really not much of a bigger role for him. Like maybe he could win the third line right wing role alongside Iafallo and Adam Lowry. Mm-hmm. But I'd consider that a stretch given what you said with the career high in goals and all that hasn't really hit his potential. If he can win the fourth line center role and the Jets can ice a quality fourth line, which is another thing we haven't seen in a long time from the Jets, I think he could be, yeah, like a 5 to 10 goal guy and kind of grow a little bit more and show a little bit more of those flashes. And then if there's an injury or something higher up in the lineup and he's the one that gets promoted, that's when you'll really see if he's really made the jump. But yeah, he's 23 years old now. The clock is definitely ticking, and it's not a good scenario for him where he's battling for the fourth line center role at a training camp, which he could lose that battle and be in the press box to start the year. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is like, he may be able to just be a good third, fourth line guy, which is not bad, but you're hoping for more. I mean, he hasn't really done much in the AHL either. I mean, he's so you're kind of, it's kind of worrying that he's not even dominating a lower league. 9 points in 11 games. Okay. I mean, it's okay. 5 goals in 11 games. I mean, if he does that over a season, that's really good if that's the pace. But yeah, hopefully he can kind of break out and do a bit more this season. But like you said, what type of opportunities is he going to get to do that?
Right.
We'll have to see. So let's move into that. The overall group for the forwards, do you have any other questions that you kind of have of this group? I mean, they've got some other guys that are going to have full seasons with them. Nino Niederreiter, Namestnikov. I mean, they showed really well after the trade deadline when they were acquired. So what do you expect from this whole group this season?
Yeah, I think a full season of those two, because we only saw them for about 17 or 18 games to end the season last year. A full 82 games of Nino Niederreiter is huge for this team. That's lacking some scoring, some middle six talent. And the biggest question with this forward group, a lot of the local media is talking about it. It's a huge question going into training camp, is who's going to be the second line center? Because you trade away Pierre-Luc Dubois, Gabriel Velarde, kind of a winger slash center, hasn't really blossomed as a center at the NHL level yet. Does he take the role? Does Cole Perfetti, who's coming off another injury last season, does he take that second line center role? Or does Bonus just lean on a veteran in Namestnikov and hope that the wingers can kind of carry him in the top six? That's kind of the biggest question with this forward group right now, because down the middle, they're not the strongest, but everywhere else, they're probably the strongest they've been since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But the second line center, if one of Velarde and Perfetti can just outright win the job in camp and run with it, this forward core is stellar from top to bottom.
Yeah. And what's good, I mean, I've kind of noticed, just look at the positions, there's a lot of guys that can play center and wing. You know, Velarde can play both. You got Perfetti can play both, and Namestnikov can play all positions. Kupari, same thing. Morgan Barron, same thing. Yeah. I mean, all these guys can play different positions. So maybe not really good at all of them, but the biggest thing is face-offs on a few of these guys. But yeah, I mean, with, you know, before we move on to the defense, Blake Wheeler, how big of a loss will he be this season? I mean, he's been a part of this team forever. Right. It seems like he was part of the Atlanta Thrashers way back when as well. Was captain of the team for a number of years. I mean, as much as everyone kind of saw maybe a drop off with him, he's still going to be a big loss.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it was Josh Morrissey who at the end of the season said that the team still kind of viewed him as their captain, even though he wasn't wearing the C. So it might be a big loss in the room, but I don't really think that the loss will shine through on the ice, given that they're bringing in Iafallo, they're getting a full season of Niederreiter, and both of those players in Wheeler's role last season, which was a top six winger, I believe they could post better results in those roles. So on the ice, I actually think buying out Blake Wheeler and replacing him with a Niederreiter or an Iafallo in that top six is an upgrade. But the question mark for losing Blake Wheeler is if he was viewed as that much of a leader, even when he wasn't the captain, which the Jets may name a captain going into the season. So that may mitigate that a little bit. But I think the biggest loss for Blake Wheeler is going to be off the ice rather than on the ice, because they've got some good winger options that can fill in for him in the top six.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it's just going to be that off ice presence that he has. And like you said, if he was viewed as the captain and didn't have the C on, that's going to be big to lose, you know, for this season. We'll see. We'll see how it all goes. All right. Let's move to the defense and start, you know, no additions, no new guys this time.
No changes. Yeah.
No changes at all. So they're still led by Josh Morrissey. Had a breakout season last season and is probably the de facto leader on this blue line now. Mm-hmm. Probably was last year as well. What do you think about this group going into this season?
I think this group is about what you're going to get from last season. There's not going to be any big drop-offs, big jumps. Dylan Sandberg took a big jump last year, and that was a pleasant surprise. If he can move up into the top four and keep going with his play, that could be a surprise, but I just don't think I'm going to be surprised by what happens with the defense core at all. One thing that is kind of flying under the radar to me is Josh Morrissey being kind of a regression candidate where, you know, he puts up 40 points a year his whole career, and then this one year he explodes for 78 points. Is he going to repeat that? It would be cool to see him repeat that. I wouldn't bet on it. I'd say he falls back, not all the way back to, you know, a 30-point defenseman, but probably somewhere in the 50 to 60 range. I don't know if he's in the contention for the Norris, but that's all kind of the negative side of what this defense core could be. The positive side is Dylan Sandberg keeps progressing. Morrissey's in the middle of his prime. You got Dylan DeMello, Brendan Dillon, Nate Schmidt, who are all veterans, second year in Rick Bowness's system. And you've got Connor Hellebuck in that, who can bail you out if you make a mistake. So this defense core is good enough to make the playoffs. But watch for maybe a little bit of a regression from Josh Morrissey, and then maybe even more of a jump from Dylan Sandberg, who looked great in sheltered minutes last year.
Yeah. You got a guy like Logan Stanley on the outside looking in, and that those six that are there. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, who's coming out of the lineup if you want that big 6'6" guy and you're in there.
Yeah.
Right.
They kept rotating him in last year with Sandberg, which Jets Twitter and media did not like. But will he keep doing that this year? I don't know. They signed him to a 1-year, $1 million contract. I think he'll still end up being on the outside looking in, and I'd like to see Sandberg take that role full time, because I think he has the higher upside and the higher ceiling at this point in both of their careers. But I would not be shocked if Rick Bowness continues to rotate Sandberg and Stanley in and out of the lineup like he did last year.
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of the perfect seventh defenseman, really. You know, he's a very, very responsible guy. He's, you know, he's big. He's physical, right?
Size.
Size.
That's it. Size. There it is. He's 6'7".
Yeah. And that's always something to have, is good to be in the line, especially, I mean, he's not a bad skater either, which So
I will say last year, I think it was an ankle injury that he was out of the lineup. When he came back, his skating definitely took a noticeable dip. So it'll be interesting to see if he can bounce back, because a foot injury or ankle, I forget exactly what it was, but a lower ligament injury to a 6'7" defenseman is pretty tough to come back from. So training camp will be interesting. Preseason will be interesting to see if he's regained some of that skating. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something to be something to watch for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. We've already mentioned Connor Hellebuyck. The guy's still here. He's still the starting goaltender. He's still going to play a ton. So do you see him playing out the season in Winnipeg for one? And then you got the backup, Laurent Boissois, who's returned to Winnipeg after being in Vegas there, won a cup. I got his cup ring and now he's back here.
Yep.
What do you see this tandem looking at? Are you seeing Hellebuyck being here at the end of the season?
Yeah, that's such a tough question, because if the Jets are, say, second in the Central at the trade deadline, does Kevin Cheveldayoff, does that A, change Hellebuck's mind and maybe he extends, or does he still not want to and they trade him away even though they're playing so well? That's really tough. Because I don't know what Kevin Cheveldayoff's mindset is on that. But in terms of Brassois and them paying him $1.75 million for this 1 year, I think Hellebuyck is going to play less out of the gate. Because if he is playing back-to-backs, playing every night, he's already approaching 30, or I believe he is 30 already. And teams are already reluctant to pay him. Right. So if you're trying to create a market for him, you want him to be fresh for these teams down the playoffs. But I don't, I would expect Laurent Brassois to get in games this year, because Hellebuyck has played a lot and faced a lot of shots the last 5 years. I think he's like first in every single like endurance longevity stat you could name for the last 5 years. And I think them paying Brassois nearly $2 million means that they're going to cut that down a little bit, especially since, like I said, he's approaching the wrong side of 30.
Yeah, and you're looking at, like, Brassois actually looked like a pretty good starting goalie in Vegas. So would they be comfortable trading Hellebuyck and have Brassois and Colin Delia as the backup, who they signed in the offseason as well, coming from the Vancouver Canucks? And he played quite a few games, 17, I believe, for the Canucks with their injuries. And he looked okay. He looked pretty good at times. So he could probably be the backup. But do they feel comfortable with that tandem if they are hoping to be a playoff team and trading Hellebuyck, like you said? Or would they be comfortable doing that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, if the Jets are second in the Central and they do trade Hellebuyck, or they're first in the Central even, whatever, first in the West, best team in the West, and they trade Connor Hellebuyck, that would be quite the story. But they might have to do it, or else risk losing him for nothing. And then he goes to the New Jersey Devils next offseason.
Right.
For absolutely nothing. You lose a Vezina Trophy winning goaltender, the backbone of this franchise for the last 6-7 years. You would just lose him for nothing. And it's a decision I wouldn't want to make. Let's just put it that way. I'm glad I'm not the one making the call, because if the Jets are good, it's dicey. If they're bad and they're like middling around a wild card spot, it makes the decision a little bit easier to move Hellebuyck, but boy, if they're good, it could get dicey.
Yeah. And the thing is are they going to get a goalie in return if they do trade him? Right. And that's tough. I mean, I don't think they'd be getting a guy that's obviously not his caliber, because he is probably still top five goaltender in the league. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is going to be a tough decision. That's going to be something I want to watch all season long. For sure.
I will say they did draft a goalie, Thomas Milic, in the fifth round in the draft this past year. Seattle Thunderbirds goalie, played for Canada in the World Juniors. And they already have Dom DeVincentis, who's a goalie in the OHL, won OHL Goalie of the Year. So are they preparing for life after Connor Hellebuyck? Maybe. When they took a goalie, that was my first thought. I was like, oh, well, they're planning to not have Hellebuyck 4 or 5 years from now. But we'll see. I don't know if that was just, we're just taking the best player available, or if it really was preparing for life after Hellebuyck.
Mm-hmm. I was happy when they drafted Milic, because he's been undrafted for the last two drafts. And I'm like, someone draft this guy. He's good enough.
A lot of Jets fans were very happy, because obviously you recognize the name. He wins the gold with Canada. You're watching all those games of the World Juniors, and then you see the Jets draft him. You're like, oh, great. Let's do it. So a lot of fans were happy.
Yeah. So hopefully he gets a chance in the NHL at some point. We'll see. Mm. Okay. Well, now the big question is, how do they stack up in this Central Division? Because it is a tough one. You know, you got some teams that are obviously probably going to be bad again. You got the Chicago Blackhawks probably going to be at the, but they got Connor Bedard. So, I mean, it's not going to be an easy to play against this.
Not a free win anymore. But
no, not anymore. They got Arizona Coyotes. They look better this season. They've actually loaded up with some veterans, and they got some really good young talent as well. And then, of course, you got the top of the division with the Colorado Avalanche, Minnesota Wild, teams like that. Where do they stack up in this division? And do they have a chance to be in that playoff mix again?
I think with how their roster is currently constructed, they're up there with the Avs and the Wild and the Stars. I think the Stars are the best team in the division going into next year. But if the Jets at the trade deadline are third and the Stars are first and the Avs are second and they're battling with the Wild for third, like, I think they're up there with that upper echelon of the division. And then that just makes the decision that I talked about earlier all the more difficult, because if you're stacking up with a Colorado or a Dallas or a Minnesota, who all those teams are probably going all in trying to win the Stanley Cup. And you're in a position where you have to trade your top goalie and your top center.
Yeah.
It's a tough decision, but I think with how they're currently built, they're up there with those teams. And then if you factor in Cole Perfetti or Gabriel Vilardi running away with the second line center role and having a true breakout season, they could be one of the best teams in the Central.
You definitely have the pieces. I mean, the defense is still pretty good. I mean, they got three pairings of legitimate NHL defensemen. So, I mean, it's not like there's a weakness there. They still got one of the better goalies in the league as well. So, I mean, you can't count them out. And, you know, anyone that has a team that has at the top, Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, and Nikolaj Ehlers, those are three quality guys that usually probably going to win with. So,
yeah. And another thing is Rick Bowness has a certain style of hockey that he loves to play. And I think if he was building his ideal team, he would pick this team, this year's Winnipeg Jets, because he's got a forward core that is loaded from top to bottom with defensive specialists. He's got a ton of defensive defensemen and like seven NHL quality defensemen. And then you've got a Vezina winning goalie. So they're just going to try and win every game 2-1, and that's how Rick Bowness wants to play. He'll load up the top line with Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers, and hope that they work their magic, and then everyone else is shutting it down. And that's Rick Bowness hockey, and I think you're going to see it on full display this year.
Yeah, we'll see how it all goes, and it's going to be a tough year, as it always is. There's just so many good teams in the NHL now, and it's going to be fun to see. All right, let's move to our quick fire round, and these are all fun questions that we've seen articles at thehockeywriters.com be created out of these questions. So let's start with our breakout stars. We have talked about a couple guys already. Who do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to mention the two that I've already mentioned in Cole Perfetti and Gabriel Vilardi. But I'll focus more on Perfetti, because if he's able to stay healthy for a full, not even 82 games, like 70 plus, I really think he could take off in a top six role. He's been slowly getting better. He worked back from a shoulder injury coming into last year, looked great for the first two thirds of the season, and then got hurt again. But if he's able to stay healthy, maybe a move to center is a career defining moment for him, and he just takes off. But I wrote in a piece actually 2-3 weeks ago that if there was a list of breakout players across the NHL, that Cole Perfetti should be on it, because he's going into his age 21 season. That's usually when players spike and they really take off, and in a top six role, he might be playing with a Kyle Connor and Nikolaj Ehlers, and he could just go nuts.
He definitely has the skill to be that. And he was in the conversation of the Calder last season.
Yeah.
Again, getting hurt, that just screws up everything. Right. But still had a really solid season for his, I guess, quote unquote, official rookie season, even though he played the other season as well.
Yeah.
All right. Who needs to bounce back this season?
I think a lot of Jets people on Twitter will agree with me when I say Neil Pionk. Mm-hmm. He had a really good year in 2020, the North Division year, which earned him the contract that he has now, which is $5.8 million. It was 4 years at the time. There's two left. And then the 2 years since then, he has his defensive metrics have plummeted. There's stretches of games where he gets paired with Josh Morrissey and they just outchance their opponents. And it doesn't even matter what happens in the defensive end because they're mm-hmm. just generating so much offense. But he'll likely be paired with Brendan Dillon or Dylan Sandberg on that second pairing right D. And if he's able to bounce back, then the Jets defense corps will really be a well-rounded unit. He's kind of with the two down years he's had here, it's kind of left Brendan Dillon and him posting some so-so metrics on that second pairing. But if they're able to really raise their game, then the Jets have got three stellar pairings that they can just lock other teams down. And I think it comes down to Neil Pionk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his offensive numbers were fine, but right. his defensive were very good.
Yeah.
we'll see if he can bounce back this season. All right. Something that could be an X factor. At least it doesn't have to be a player. It can be something else mm-hmm. like that too.
I'm going to say health, just because a lot of people around the Jets were saying that if they were healthy against Vegas, they maybe could have given them a run. Obviously, Nikolai Ehlers was out for 80% of last season. He played 40 games and then got hurt in the playoffs or right before the playoffs. But Cole Perfetti, I mentioned, was also hurt. And then a full season of Niederreiter, Nemestikov, full health from Perfetti and Ehlers. It's just something we didn't really see last season was a fully healthy Jets forward group. And I think if they're healthy, then we can really see the full potential of the forward group shine. But that's it's something that hasn't happened in a few years. So I don't know if it'll happen this year.
Oh, health is always an X factor for any team.
Yeah. The Jets are especially a top heavy though. Like if they were to lose Kyle Connor or Mark Scheifele or Nikolai Ehlers for over half the season, that is a lot of goals that they've got to replace. And I don't know if the names in the bottom six are really the goal scoring type to pick up the slack. So that's something to watch for sure.
Full season of Nikolai Ehlers would be big too. He only played 45 games last season, right? So yeah. He hasn't really stayed healthy since his 2017-18. Relatively healthy, I guess, in the shortened season. Mm-hmm. Well, actually really good because he had only... is that my bad math here? He only missed
season
12
was 56
games.
That'd
be 12 games, yes.
Yeah.
So 11 games. Yeah, 11 games. But you had 21 goals in that season.
Only
47. But yeah, Ehlers has a lot. When he's in the lineup, he is dangerous, but he has to stay healthy and be there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, a rookie or a prospect that could surprise and make the team. I mean, there's not a lot of spots to get this, but that's why it's a surprise. So,
yeah, I mean, I'll throw out a name. I'll throw out Chaz Lucius, who in his short stint, again, he also got hurt. Jets fans are very, very aware of the injury issues that are going on throughout the organization, but he had 15 points in six WHL games before he got hurt when he got sent down. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that is just getting healthy for training camp. He was a first round pick in 2021. He hit his stride in the World Juniors. He looked great on the national stage. And if he just looked incredible out of training camp and won, maybe even that top six, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, maybe the top six center role, but just a spot in the lineup. I don't think I'd be surprised because he's really shown the talent the last 6 months when he was healthy, but it all comes down to health for him. Maybe he'll start in the AHL and the first injury, he'll be the guy coming up. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be shocked to see him just dominate in training camp because he's shown the talent.
For sure. And there we talked about Kupari. He could be the guy that he takes a spot, right?
Yeah, it could be.
He's going to have they have a lot of prospects that could potentially do this. So
yeah,
Brad Lambert could, who knows? I mean, he had really good with Seattle and when he got sent down, so could end up doing that as well.
Yeah. I think both of those guys end up starting on the Moose, which will make the, the AHL Manitoba Moose really fun to watch to start the year with two first round prospects that are pretty dynamic. But if one of the top guys, like I said, goes down, one of those two guys is coming up, because you need to replace dynamic offensive talent with dynamic offensive talent. And that's what those two guys are.
Yeah. We'll see if they're, we'll see if any of them make the lineup in the opening night, or they'll definitely probably play during the season, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move to prospect, just a prospect to watch, because there's a lot of, they have a lot of good prospects in their system. We talked just a couple there, but they've got a few more. Who should everyone be watching this season?
I mean, he's approaching his age 22 season or 23 season, but Ville Heinola on the back end, this is kind of a make or break year for him, or maybe next year is, but it's got to happen at some point. 2019 first round pick. He's dominated the AHL the last three seasons. Like, he's by every metric, by every stat, been one of the best defenders on a points per game, Corsi percentage, all those advanced stats. He's been one of the better defensemen in the league for 3 years now, and he's entering his age 22 season. He needs to take that next step and get into the NHL. Now, we talked about how crowded the defensive group is. So if there's a spot for him, then maybe a spot becomes available because they're sellers at the trade deadline or something. But he has the ability and the talent to win a spot out of training camp. It's just a matter of, is he coming into camp stronger? Is he coming in faster? And is he able to put it together, because he's shown flashes in the AHL, been great in the NHL for a certain amount of games, but then he'll fall back down. And it's just been a roller coaster with Ville Heinola, but he's definitely the most intriguing prospect heading into this season for that reason.
Yeah. I was going to kind of mention him too, if you didn't, because he is a guy that you're going to need to see something from him soon, because they, you know, defense take a bit longer to develop, but you want to start seeing it come. And yeah, he's had cups of coffee the last bunch of years, but we'll see if he can, you know, maybe force a trade. Who knows? That's what he's gonna have to do, because otherwise he's not gonna make it into that lineup.
Yeah, that would be the cap efficient thing for the Jets to do, is to move one of their veterans on an expiring deal and bring Hanel in and just hope that he can play well in a sheltered role. But we'll see what ends up happening.
For sure. Okay, this one could be easy. I mean, there's a few guys for this. Who will lead the team in scoring on forwards and defense?
I'll start with defense, because that one's easier. Even though I brought him up as a regression candidate, it's going to be Josh Morrissey.
Oh, yeah.
No one's really going to come close. I mean, I think Neil Pionk could, but Josh Morrissey is going to be on the top power play unit. He's going to be logging 27 minutes a night. He's going to lead the defensive group in scoring. Forwards is a tougher one. I'll go with Kyle Connor, just because he kind of went through a shooting slump, weirdly, to start last season. He had one goal, and it was like game 16 or 17 that he finally broke the streak and got his second one, and then he started rolling. He kind of, like, his shooting percentage was way low. I think he could be a positive regression candidate. We'll talk about the negative side with Josh Morrissey. He could be back up in the 40 goal mark. So if he always seems to rack up a good amount of assists too. So if you get a 40 goal season out of Kyle Connor, that's 80 to 90 points. And I think that leads the group.
Yeah. I think I would probably pick Kyle Connor as well. I mean, obviously Mark Scheifele and Ehlers are in that mix as well. If Ehlers can stay healthy, I think he could potentially do it. But
the Connor's flashy pick, the flashy pick is Ehlers. It's the hot take is Ehlers. If he can stay healthy, he totally has the ability to do it. It's just, we haven't really seen that.
Yeah. Not yet. All right. Now we talked about a few guys that could potentially fall into this category, but who could be traded before the deadline this season?
I'm going to go with Mark Scheifele. I think he's the more likely of the two to be traded, between him and Hellebuck. You have a few other guys with 1 year left on their deals too, and Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello. And there's one name I'm forgetting, but those two aren't the only ones that could be dealt. Brendan Dillon is a classic trade deadline, second pairing lefty, big, physical, made for the playoffs deal that will totally go down if the Jets aren't in the mix. But Mark Scheifele, being a 40 goal scorer from a season ago, you just saw what happened with kind of the Bo Horvat trade. I think that's a pretty good outline for what Scheifele would go for at the deadline. First round pick and a B prospect ish. And I think if the Jets aren't in a position to go for the Stanley Cup, which they probably won't be, but I think Mark Scheifele is the most likely one to be dealt.
Nita Ryder is the other one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see him being moved because he had a bunch of quotes this offseason about how much he loves Winnipeg. So I think they're going to try and sign him long term.
Yeah. Yeah. So he probably won't be traded. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last question. And I love this question because we love the bold stuff here. So a bold prediction stuff. Or a hot take for this season.
I don't know if it's really a bold or hot take, but I'll say it anyways. I think the Jets are second or third in the Central at the trade deadline and keep Scheifele and Hellebuyck without an extension. I think their hand is forced and they think that they can really go all in. And then if they lose in the first round, I mean, there's been examples of this in years past with Columbus when mm-hmm. they held Panarin and Bobrovsky into their UFA year. And then won a round or two, and then those guys walked. And Columbus has been in the top five picking for the last like 3 years since. So it's a risky plan, but I think if I had to like make a hot take, and I think that would be it because I can't see the Jets moving off of them, especially if they're top three in the Central.
Yeah, that would be a hot take because it seems like these guys are one of them at least as good as gone, or at least. All the rumors have talked about it, but
right.
I could see it not happening too. I mean, I would say it would have already happened if it, right?
Yeah. Or they're waiting for some training camp injuries and team needs a center. Everyone thinks Boston is eventually going to trade for a center. Mm-hmm. Who knows? They might get desperate and trade for Scheifele, but if the Jets are in a playoff spot, I think they keep them both, which yeah. I wouldn't be on board with, but I think that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. It's like I said, it's a difficult decision to trade guys like that when you're in the playoff mix and right. You basically mess up your chances potentially by doing that. So that Nashville did it. They traded a bunch. They didn't make the playoffs, but they were close. In that mix right at the end and they had traded a bunch of their big names. So you never know. We'll see what happens. All right. Well, thanks, Connor, for coming on the show and talking the Winnipeg Jets coming season. It's going to be an interesting one because, like I said, there's a lot of storylines that could potentially happen with those trades. You know, some new players in the mix and some mm-hmm. guys that are still here and potentially doing some other stuff. So before we get going out of here, give everyone your social media and where everyone can find your stuff.
Yeah, my Twitter is at Connor Hrabchak 1. That's where I post mainly all of my stuff. But yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a blast. And the Jets are going to be very interesting because even if they start out hot, there's the looming question of Hellebuyck and Scheifele and what to do with them. So it's going to be some nervous energy in that arena to start the year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely will. Especially when those big players, like with the Canucks, it was Horvat all season until he was traded. And it wasn't fun.
You know, it's coming, you know, it's coming. You just don't know when. Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But make sure you're checking out all the preview stuff over at thehockeywriters.com and Winnipeg Jets writers. They got some great stuff coming out every day. Also the Winnipeg Jets Substack, you can sign up for that as well. It comes out, I believe it's like it comes out multiple times during the week mm-hmm. with all the best articles that the Winnipeg Jets writing team is putting out. And also hit the like button here at the YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Throw those comments below. You can answer all those quickfire questions yourself. Interact with us down there. And until next time, we'll see you on another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable.